share with you out of the 22nd chapter of Genesis. I'll read verses 6 through 10 and verses 17 and 18 for your consideration. Supporting scripture coming from Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. The book of beginnings in Genesis, the 22nd chapter, beginning at verse 6, you'll find these words. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Verses 17 and 18. That in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. The base of our thinking coming from the 18th verse. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Supporting scripture coming from Paul's writing to the Ephesians, beginning at verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. We have to use a thought or a subject this morning. We'd like to use a thought. Your blessings will come through your obedience. Your blessings will come through your obedience. There's a song that says, I know what prayer can do. And if you know what prayer can do, then you know that prayer will fix it. It seems like nothing else will work. Prayer will fix it. Something about prayer. Prayer has power. And that power, it just goes anywhere that it needs to go. You can be anywhere in the world and you can pray for somebody and know that God has so much power that he is able to do what nobody else can do. So we thank God that we know him to be a prayer answering God. Hallelujah. How many of you talked to God this morning? Hallelujah, Jesus. Song say he'll hear every word that you say. And there are times when you don't know what to say. But he knows your moans and your groans and your pains and your heartaches. He can just get in the inside of your mind and know exactly what you're thinking about and what you're dealing with. So we serve a mighty God this morning. Hallelujah, Jesus. He is worthy of all of our praises. We glorify him and we thank God for his many blessings. We thank God for our women for sharing and for ministering to the men on Father's Day today. Let's give them some love this morning. Hallelujah. We find that we've got some good folk that does not mind showing their love one for another. And I'm so excited to see all of our young people that are ushering this morning. They look so wonderful this morning. Let's give our children some love this morning. Hallelujah. We want them to know that they are very special to us. Hallelujah. And we are glad that they don't mind being a servant in the house of the Most High God. Hallelujah. Even if I'm a doorkeeper, I want to do something to help for the cause of Christ, because he is just that good this morning. We thank God this morning for allowing us this space and this opportunity to be here. And we know that it's not by any of our own merits that we are here, but we're here because God is a loving and a merciful God. And God has blessed us and allowed us to come into this place one more time on this, another day of love, another day of honor and joy, and we celebrate this morning all fathers, wherever they may be, because we realize that on this great Father's Day, it's another day that God has made. And we declare, we rejoice and be glad in it. Glad to be in the number this morning. Glad to be yet counted amongst the living. Glad that God allowed his blood to yet still run warm in our veins. He's just that kind of God this morning. We are thankful to God for giving us the gift of fatherhood. Hallelujah. It's not that we're trying something new, but we finna cut that out. One thing I found is that when you are working and doing something for the Lord, especially in ministry, you can't have no unnecessary distractions. Because unnecessary distractions will hinder you from allowing the Spirit to flow free. So we thank God for modern technology, and they got me just what I asked for. We're going to get the kinks out, but not doing service. Hallelujah, Jesus. We got some folk that don't mind doing what needs to be done, and I thank God that sometimes all you have to do is just ask. You know, the Bible tells us you have not because you ask. And a lot of times we go through life and we wonder, why is it that we don't have this or we don't have that? And a lot of times it's because we didn't ask God for it. Sometimes we ask somebody else for it and we expect them to do it, but there are things that we got to trust that we can do for ourselves if we depend on the power of God. You might not have the resources right now, but if you trust that God is the supplier of every one of your needs, then you know that God will be able to do what nobody else can do. I'm thankful this morning that God allowed me to be a father, because there's something about fatherhood that makes us realize that God is a special being. God gave us something that he has. God has so much love for us that he allowed his only son to die. So now, if God loved us that much, can we not love our own children? We got to understand. We got to understand that this is Father's Day, and we come here to honor all fathers, even to those that refuse to man up to their responsibilities of not just being a father, but take time out to be a daddy. See, it's easy to be a father, but it comes, it's something else to be a daddy. See, all you got to do is contribute to be a father, but if you want to be a daddy, you got to put some time in. You got to be there and show that child some love. Give that child some instruction. Even if you don't have a dollar in your pocket, you can give that child some of your time. Too many of us are going through the motions and don't realize that it's time out of us being rubbed out. Even though we realize it, even though you might be one of those that say, I'm a good father, I'm a good man, and I don't want to hear all that, but we got some that are not able to say that this morning. We got some that are just going through the motions, but I thank God that every one of us got to work out our own soul salvation. Unfortunately, we do have some men that love to praise the Lord our God. We thank God because there are some that have to bear all the pains of those that are loose, those that are not able to do, those that are not willing to do, those that just will not do so. They put us all in a category, but I beg to differ that all men are not dogs. All men have not went away and betrayed their children. There are some men, even though they are multitude that might not be doing the right thing, there are just as many that's doing the right thing. So we got to be thankful for those that are doing the right thing, and we got to pray for those that are not doing the right thing. If we say we know what prayer can do, you can't make nobody do anything, but you can talk to a God that is able to do what nobody else can do. We got to know that we ought to be glad that God has put us in a position that we can say that I am a father. And throughout the course of time, men have been proud and full of joy because of the blessings of having a child, to add another generation to what we call the family tree. I'm glad to report today that despite the vast number of deadbeat dads floating around, there's still a whole lot of other folk that are doing the right thing. And what we got to try to do is teach our young boys that boys got to understand that being a father is a man's job. Yeah. Too many of them, we like to sort of dwell on the girl and say, babies having babies, but what about the boys? They just as young as the girls. And so they don't have a job. They don't have any responsibility. They don't have a way of making ends meet. So I don't know why you got your chest stuck all out like you all of that. Because you got to stand up to the count. You got to come out of your comfort zone and be willing to do what needs to be done. A father is a loving individual that will take care of his children to keep them from all hurt, harm, or danger. And we got to know that it doesn't matter whether you live in the house, across town, or whatever. You still ought to have a bond and a relationship with your child. You see, we got to understand that it's not all about you anymore. Once you become a parent, it's about that child. That there ought to be something that kicks in. When you find out that you're going to have a child and when God blesses that child to come into the world, there ought to be something that kicks in to you that make you realize, I got to do better than what I've been doing. I got to check myself. I got to know that there's some things that are going to have to be done. And that's my child. You know, we like to boast about our children. We thank God for our children. But we realize that every one of them is just like every one of us. They do some right and they do some things wrong. But what we're here to do is to try to get them to understand this morning is that what we got to do is have obedience. We got to learn how to have some obedience in our life. It is a fact that there's nothing new under the sun. So we realize that these things have been going on for a long time. And ain't no need of just bashing nobody across the head and worrying everybody to death because of this, that, or the other. Whatever has already happened is going to happen again. That there were folk having babies before you got here. There'll be folk having babies after you're dead and gone. So I don't know why we try to act like it's something brand new. We got to know that what we got to do is put our hand of love and go down on bended knees and pray ye one for another that we can help. What happened to the village? What happened to the village that's supposed to help raise the children? We got to still have that same heart and mind that it might not be my child, but it is a child. And if it's a child, then we ought to show love to that child. If it's a child and the child is hungry, you ought to feed a child when they get hungry. I think it's a sad thing that we walk around in a $150 tennis shoe and our child going around hungry. Something is wrong with that picture. Yeah, it's a sad thing when you got gold all around your neck, but your child don't even have a decent suit to put on his back. It's a sad thing that when we come and we talk about all the places that we've been and all the things we gonna do, but what about the poor little babies? No baby asked to get here. We got here because somebody else, and sometimes you didn't ask. But once God blesses you, you don't worry about how you got to where you are. You thank God for what God has given you. Because how many of you believe that every child is a gift from God? Hallelujah. I thank God that my mother decided to let me be born. We got a lot to be thankful for. For God is a mighty good God this morning. You got to understand that there's some responsibilities that come. And we talk about breaking the generational curses. We got to start somewhere. And where we got to start is in the house and in the church. And let them know that there got to be some things done differently. With all of the education that is out there now and all the forms of prevention that are out there. And yet we still have the same results. It's time that we hold ourselves accountable to do right by our children. We're not living in a time where you ought to have keep on making mistakes. When we think about a father, he is one that not only is loving and giving, but a father gives instructions and advice on the principles of life. He protects and watches out for the family. He has power and he has authority, and there's something about his voice and the tone that he uses that can cause different emotions to stir up in you. There are times when you could even be in a crowded room, and if your father stepped in that room and said something, then you would recognize that voice and immediately your head would turn. Isn't it amazing how when you have been what you need to be that you not even use your name anymore, your children call you daddy. They don't call you Carlton. They don't call you Alvin. They call you daddy. And you got a lot of children, and all of them calling you daddy. But I guarantee you, when you open up your mouth, either one of those kids know that's my daddy talking. You ought to know your child's voice, and your child ought to know your voice. How the child gonna know your voice? You gotta be in the midst of the child. You gotta spend some time with the child. You gotta let the child know what love is all about. You gotta let the child know if don't nobody else love you, I love you. You gotta let the child know if society closed the door in your face, then there's another door right on down the street. You just keep on stepping, brother. Everything gonna be all right. You got to learn how to encourage your children to go on and to go to higher heights. You got to learn that even though they fall and make mistakes, pick them back up, brush them off, love them, and let them know that you can still make it. Too many times we turn our backs on them at the wrong time. We got to understand that all of us got to know who our daddy is. Every one of us ought to know and recognize the voice of the Lord. David said that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But we got to know him as a shepherd. How are you going to know him as a shepherd? Well, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father who gave them me is greater than everybody, and no man is able to pluck them out of my hand. That's what Jesus said. All you got to do is just turn to John 10, and you'll find that my sheep hear my voice. So if you are one that like to go with the fact that the Lord is your shepherd, and if he is your shepherd, then he ought to know and you ought to be able to hear his voice. You either a sheep or a goat, and you got to make the decision which one you are going to be. A sheep will hear what the shepherd has got to say, because when the shepherd say it's time to get on in, then the sheep ought to start moving. But sheep are hard-headed. You seeing a hard head folk on your pew? So that's why David had to have a staff. So every now and then he had to nudge them to go in the right direction. You know, sheep want to go any way they want to go, but the shepherd got to lead them in the right direction. Anybody helping me in here? My sheep hear my voice. When I hear my daddy calling me, then I got to go running. Blessings come from your obedience. You're not being obedient when I got to call you three times. You got to learn how to move when your daddy or your mama say, move, move. Then we got to know that it's not a debate. We're not having a conversation. I'm making a statement. I need you to get up and I need you to go do what I tell you to do. Don't ask me why I got to do it, because I said do it. If you got more than one of them might tell you, I didn't do that. We'll pick it up anyhow. You ought to be able to do something with your child. And that child got to learn how to be obedient. Paul says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And what did he promise? He promised that if I honor my father and my mother, that he give me long days upon the earth. So anybody want to cut your time short? Keep on bumping them gums together. Keep on texting while somebody told you to put that phone down. It's Father's Day. Many fathers left in here don't mind smacking a kid upside the head. If you too scared to smack your child upside the head because you going to jail, then you ought to be in jail. The Bible says spare not the rod, because when you spare the rod, you spoil the child. Anybody in here ever had a beat down?
Sometime with your clothes on, sometime with your clothes off. We had them kind of folk that got the snatch itis. Soon as you think you about ready to go to sleep, them covers say, shoo! Oh, hello, it's on now. Nobody gonna go to sleep for a little bit. You gonna be hollering. The Bible says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurturing admonition of the Lord. So in other words, you can't be so tough. You got to be fair when you beat your child. I'm not talking about just beat him because you can beat him. But the child ought to have done something that deserves to be beat. And then sometimes you have to explain to the child why you're getting this beating. And their little mind may not want to hear it or understand it, but don't let them fool you. They know that they done wrong. So you just go on and do that tapping and everything going to be all right, because it is your job not to make that child be afraid of you. You see, there are some of us that can be too tough. And you don't want your children fearful that you're going to hurt them. You don't want them afraid of you, but you want them to fear you in the same fear that we have of God, in reverence, honor, and respect. I respect you. Now, how many of you know that there are some children that grow up way up past your head? I'll use Brother Pittman as an example. Small stature, but if Cotton Jr. came up here now and jacked him up in the collar, he'd be on. But because of the father that he has, even if he ever made him that man, he would never, ever, out of respect and love, go up against that man. You see, one thing we got to learn is that being obedient to our parents does not mean that we are belittling ourselves or that we are not using our own mind. They are telling us something for our own good. And we got to trust the power of God. But so now when we look at the word of God, and the word of God is telling us, obey your parents because this is right. If you want to do anything, you ought to be able to say that I honor my mother, I honor my father. And if I'm able to honor them, that God will work things out for my good. And I found out that when you give honor and when you give that proper respect, that things will work out for your good. I found out that blessings will come through your obedience. Obedience means to obey and doing what you've been told to do, to perform the orders that have been set out for you. So now, where is this going with where we are in our text? In our text this morning, it tells us that a father was faced with a dilemma whether to love and protect. Hallelujah. Thank you. And one thing we got to understand is that when we get into a position where one thing won't work, you trust God, and God will give you something else that will work out for your faith. When we look here in this word of God, this man is faced with the dilemma of whether to love and protect his child or to do what the Lord has said do. Now, the Bible said it came to pass that after these things, God tempted Abraham. And he said unto him, Abraham, behold, here I am. Abraham, in other words, said, I'm right here, Lord. And then he said, take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon the mountain which I will tell you of. So now, those of us that are biblically minded, we know that Abraham and Isaac was that one, that Isaac came when Abraham was an old man. Isaac was the one that God blessed him and Sarah with when they thought that they were too old to have an heir. But all of a sudden, now Abraham has an heir by his main wife. And so this is the child of promise. So Isaac is very special to Abraham because he has been promised by God. He was promised that he would come. God gave him what he said that he was going to do. And this was a great child. The child loved his daddy. Bible said he rose up early in the morning. They got all the things gathered together to go, getting the wood and the burnt offerings, and they rose up and went to the place where God told them. The third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he saw a place afar off. Abraham said unto the young men, you stay back here, and me and the lad, we're going to go up yonder and worship, and we'll come back unto you again. Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering, and he laid it upon Isaac, his son. Took the fire in his hand, a knife, and then both of them went up the mountain together. Bible said, Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. Then Isaac said, behold, I see the fire, I see the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. So now, if you would picture in your mind, here is this man that loves his child. And he loves his child so much that he realized that even though I love my baby, I love God even the more. The Lord had told me what I got to do. And see, out of obedience, you ought to do what God say do. You can't ask God a question, God, and that's the same way we ought to be about our fathers. There are times we can't question or ask the word, why? So we see that Abraham got up on the mountain and he built an altar there. He laid the wood and the fire there. And just when he was getting ready to use the knife on his son, the Bible says the angel of the Lord called unto him and said out of heaven, Abraham, Abraham, hold up for a minute. Don't do him no harm. I want to let you know that I know now that you love me. I know you will do what I need you to do. I know that you were there when Isaac was born. I know that you told me that he was my special son. But I realize that now you're going to tempt me and tell me to kill my own child. Well, Lord, I got to do what you told me to do. So here I am now at the mountaintop, and I'm already ready to kill my child. But I told my child that you would supply a lamb for a burnt offering. So the Bible said the angel called Abraham by his name. Abraham realized that I'm right here where you told me to be. He said, don't do your child no harm, because everything is going to be all right now. He said, Abraham, all you got to do is look around. And he looked around, and in the thicket, the Bible said that there was a ram in the thicket. There was a ram for the burnt offering. I want to let you know that if you do what God tells you to do, God will bless you over and over again. Isaac, we had to know that God was on God's side. But Isaac wasn't a little bitty baby boy. Isaac was a young man by this time. But look at how much Isaac loved his daddy. He realized that when we go up and do a burnt offering, we ought to have an animal to have for a sacrifice. But even though I don't see an animal around, daddy said go, so I got to go with my daddy. Daddy said lay down on the wood, so I laid down on the wood. Daddy laid the wood on my chest and everything was still all right. But as I began to think about it, I laid there and I looked around. And I said, oh, daddy, I don't see a burnt offering. But the Lord God will provide. Anybody know that God will provide? God provided a lamb for the burnt offering. Then the Lord God told Abraham, I'm going to bless you over and over again. You will be the father of many nations, even the sand in the sea. You'll have even more than that. I'm going to multiply your seed. I'm going to multiply your blessings because you were obedient to my voice. In other words, you did what I told you to do. And I stopped by to tell somebody that if you want to be blessed by the best, you better be obedient to the power of God. You better be obedient to your father. You better be obedient to your mother. If you want long days on the earth, don't get so full of yourself and be all self-righteous and think that you're all of that. You may have more chances now that your mama had, but that don't make you better than mama. You might have a better education, but that don't make you better than daddy. You might make more money on your job, but that don't put you in a position to look down on your folk. You better learn how to trust the power of God. I stopped by to tell somebody that it's your obedience that's going to kindle your blessings. If you want to be blessed by the best, you better trust the power of a mighty God. It's because of your obedience. When the Lord say go, you ought to go. When the Lord say move, you ought to move. When the Lord say be still, you ought to be still. When the Lord say you ought to open up your mouth and say I'm sorry, you ought to say I'm sorry. When the Lord has done something good for you, anybody in the house this morning, are you glad that God has blessed you? You glad that he is the father of all mankind? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He is my Father. He is my King. He is my deliverer. He the best thing that ever happened to me. And I thank God for my Father. If it had not been for our Father, we wouldn't be here right now. But I thank God this morning, for the Bible said that if we do what the Lord say do, if we obey his voice, obedience will bring about blessings. If you want to be blessed by the best, you got to praise him. But when the praises go up, how many of you know your blessings going to come down? We are blessed by the best. God is able this morning. Your blessings will come through your obedience. You got to be obedient to the cause of Christ. Abraham had to be obedient to what God told him to do. He didn't question. He didn't wonder. He just moved by faith. Abraham, the father of faith, has done what all of us should do. Trust God with our very being. It's because of him that we even have our being. And if we would trust God enough that we be obedient to his word. What is his word? 66 books. Whew, it's a lot to contain. But in this book is life. In this book is your healing, your peace of mind, your joy. If you don't even have a good place to stay, I found in this book that I already got a mansion waiting on me. All I got to do is make sure that I'm in a position to enter inside the gate. You see, in order to get inside the gate, there's going to have to be a transition, because you got to change from this mortal body and you got to be changed to immortality. You see, we have been going through so much death in our community, to where we ought to be able to appreciate life, people, family, friends, and even your enemy. Because your enemy keep you on your toes. Hallelujah, Jesus. You don't know how to pray about nothing else. Pray that God would give you strength to continue to stand in a time such as this. Obey your parents, for this is right. If we are obedient, blessings will come. But now think about it. Even in our disobedience, God has still blessed us. And he is waiting on us to make up our mind to do some changing.